Welcome to another chat on chapter 2 of my book. This is where Jackson comes into the story. So the majority of this book is about Jackson's experience, and it is a real life events, but it brings in his experiences and some of the things he went through and some experiences that many would relate to varying degrees. He talks about he was an average guy. In a sense, he played sport, surfed, and did like back then. He didn't really display emotions. It was more of a guys were guys, women were women, and guys didn't show emotions, that sort of thing. So he talks about a few experiences. So Jackson played football, and he had, it was like a lot of kids, had some frustrations and some anger issues, and he played football as a great way for him to vent. So I feel that enabled Jackson to cope. Jackson's parents went through patches where they fought quite a bit. He just kept busy to try and deal with his anger and frustrations and, yeah, channel it into sport typically. So there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of issues that he had. And a lot of kids go through this, and I think especially today, and they feel alone. And Jackson did as well, most certainly did. And at times he felt like it was harboring rage. This chapter really makes you aware that a lot of people go through ups and downs and suffering, and sort of it's normal, unfortunately, and more normalized today in the struggles. And I feel a coping mechanism, and I've never seen so much or heard of so many people on medication is what I hear of today. Back mm-hmm. then, it wasn't really something that happened very much. Just had to bury it deep or try and vent or do something, but it feels almost like a quick fix before you have a chance to work through stuff. And I think it's good that people can see therapists and things. It's more accessible and more accepted, I feel, today. I think that's a good thing. But I feel at times, I don't know if we're so
resilient.
Yeah. So I'm not sure we're so resilient now as what we used to be. And I feel like it's society says it's okay to be emotional, and it is, and okay to be vulnerable, and it is as well. But I feel like I get the feeling that society is too quick to put a Band-Aid over a wound rather than let some of it lance a little, you know. And
for sure.
I actually saw we got on a slight tangent, but I saw on Instagram a therapist was talking about, has heaps and heaps, huge following, was saying that when we feel numb or when we're falling to depression, it's our body's it's a mechanism within the body to try and cope. I'm paraphrasing, this is sort of an overview. So ultimately, it said that there's nothing wrong with that. And I understand the body does things, shuts down, does all sorts of things to cope and detaches from certain experiences and everything. But then it goes further and it says that, you know, it's a natural thing. So it's okay to embrace how the body reacts or things it does to try and handle a situation. But then it goes on to say that maybe it's not necessarily you, and it's like you're not the result of yourself. It's not, it's society. So maybe the fact that one is suffering more and falling to depression more is because of how society is. So it's not, it's almost saying it's society's fault, it's not yours. And I have a huge problem with that. So society will challenge us for sure. But as long as we blame society, and this is the entrapment, if we blame society for how we are, how we think, how we feel, then, and I was surprised with a psychologist, and maybe it's my misunderstanding, but this is from, I think if I can get this, many people can, they justify their suffering by blaming external means.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to say, oh, that hurdle, this hurdle, so-and-so hurt me or whatever, and that's the initial reaction. But you don't keep repeating it to yourself to justify how you're living. And that might seem complicated. It's like, you know, let's say someone slaps me in the face, and then for the next 10 years, I know that person slapped me in the face back then, and every now and then they give me a slap. It's like, well, walk away. Why are you still in touch with them? Why are they slapping you? Are you doing something wrong? Or are they just reacting? Are they being triggered? Are they blaming you? Or projecting an idea onto you because of their own suffering. So then there's understandings like, okay, well, they're not really seeing you. They're lost in their own thoughts, their own thinking, their own anger, and you're around and they take it out on you. So it's revealing their state of mind, and you know, the fact that you have a red face isn't because someone slapped you, and it might be red initially, but if you hang around, it's your fault. You can't keep blaming the other person for slapping you, even when they're in the wrong. And I'm not condoning, like I'm not saying you should slap anyone. But I think there's a big entrapment, and this is, I feel, a result of, I'm no expert, I've just have life's experiences. So I have very strong values based on the understanding I've gone through and discovered within myself. And these, the teachings and the things that I've understood, the idea was expressed to me by great teachers, and I discovered it for myself. And it's in alignment with what I felt and discovered is what they were telling me is actually true. And that is that we are accountable for our own thoughts and feelings, and all the philosophies and ideologies, in a sense, from the talks that we do, is I feel if you feel it doesn't have value, it's not true, it's because you're not understanding it and you're not seeing it from a holistic point of view. You're justifying. And the whole point is not to justify your suffering, it's to see through it. And this has got pretty deep pretty quick. But it really comes down to Jackson, back to chapter two, being challenged and going through suffering. And by the time he was 17, he mentions an experience. And I'll tell you this part to just give you an idea. So basically Jackson played two grand finals in one day, under 17s, and backed up and played the second half of a first grade grand final. And he lost both games. Well, he didn't personally, the team did. So you can't take responsibility for everything, every loss for this team game, but sometimes you can. So, and it says that Jackson had an amazing experience. Jackson was sitting in the pub afterwards with his mates. He raised a beer and was about to take a sip. In a brief moment, a feeling of I'm a man now crept into his psyche. He realized in that moment that he mirrored some of the experiences and some of the things he did, or he witnessed his dad do, and in a pub having a beer with his mates. And he realized in that moment, I had a feeling that I'm a man now. So that feeling only lasted a moment. He thought he'd made it. He then dawned on him, this isn't enough. He knew then he needed answers. He knew there had to be so much more to life than this. He didn't even take a sip. He placed the glass on the counter, looked around at his mates. Jackson felt like he was in some kind of time warp, observing all those around him, oblivious to his experience. He needed more. He knew then that his journey had just begun. Jackson had no idea where to go or what to do. He only knew that he had to search for some kind of meaning, a purpose. That was an amazing epiphany. And not to say he didn't drink after that here and there and have fun with his mates, but that was a catalyst that it's amazing. I feel it's good to question things at times. Well, often, especially if our thoughts don't serve us. But to have that momentary feeling of I'm a man when he'd been trying to become a man and trying to fill a void within himself pretty much his whole life, and especially when your parents go through suffering and children naturally blame themselves. And then to feel a sense of peace momentarily and then go, no, this can't be, it wasn't enough. It didn't fuel the fire. It was like, well, okay, now what? So that was when Jackson realized that, yeah, that his journey had only just begun. And I feel it when you realize that you need more, you feel a hunger. That's when your journey really begins and really can accelerate. And before that, you may be challenged, but I feel the challenges are to get you to a point where you want more and you're hungry for more and you need a sense of meaning. And I just feel a lot of us go through that. And ultimately, I believe that we all are seeking meaning and fulfillment within our life. And I feel with the challenges, and especially today, it's when our rights are being taken from us in front of our very eyes and there's restrictions and limitations. It's that the potential for meaning and travel can do this, can give you a deeper sense of yourself, and you can discover things and connect. And all the things that we need is based around connection within, with others. And I really feel there's a war on this connection. All the restrictions lead to disconnection within self. Now, unless you sit down and you meditate and you do all those things and take time to get in touch, but people just start distracting themselves when they can't connect with others and within. So I feel it's important And I feel with this chapter two, it goes in pretty quick. But this is an overview of what the chapter's about, or the meaning behind it. It's all about being challenged and looking for connection within, trying to alleviate suffering, and it talks about different experiences and how Jackson had unresolved anger. And over time playing sport, he felt that the pain he felt or during the game he deserved. So it was just the mind trying to come to terms or with certain scenarios or circumstances that he couldn't control. And then I feel that people try to justify certain things in their own mind, even if it's in their own suffering. So for Jackson, instead of fighting against the pain, he just felt like he deserved it. And that's not justified for any teenager or child. Like, no child or teenager deserves pain. They deserve understanding. So this book is about discovering that understanding for yourself and questioning things and finding those answers within and understanding others so you can understand yourself. And it goes the other way as well, particularly the other way. You understand yourself, you understand others, and they can bring a greater peace for sure. So it's, you are not alone in your suffering. And it gives examples. So chapter two gives just a number of examples on the challenges and the feelings of not being enough. And I'll just mention another part in chapter two, not that it's that long, but he talks about in seeking and trying to become a man and become whole. I read a paragraph. So this is what he was prepared to go through. So on one occasion when starting a training session in a local gym with a mate, Jackson was doing power training, power snatches where the idea is to approach the bar, then explode from a power lift to a full extension over his head. He finished his first set. He decided to go for his record lift the next set. He almost made it. The bar was over his head. He was straining to fully extend his arms, then popped. Jackson's right shoulder popped out of joint, and the bar crashed down behind him with an almighty bang. This drew his mate's attention. Lucky no one else was around. He came over and said, "Wow, look at the lump on your shoulder." Jackson looked down and realized it was out of joint. He looked around and saw a bench, walked over, grabbed hold and pulled it back into place. His shoulder, that is, not the bench. So moments later, the team trainer walked in. He asked, "What have you been doing?" Jackson casually eased over to an exercise bike, hopped on and said, "I'm just warming down after a session." So that was after his second set at the start. Mm. The beads of sweat rolling down Jackson's face. An injury would have fooled even the keenest eye. That weekend during the game, he went to stop a big forward running past him with the same shoulder. He ran through him like a turnstile, popping it out again. Jackson laid on his back, popped it in again, and played on. So Jackson was willing to endure pain, and if he mentioned, if he brought up the injury, he wouldn't be playing, wouldn't be allowed on the field, and then he'd feel like he was missing out on an opportunity. He was seeking that much to try and ultimately fill a void within that. He was prepared to risk everything to do that. So, and Jackson had played with broken jaw, played on the football and a broken hand. And that's not an isolated thing. A lot of people do this sort of thing. So they're willing to almost sacrifice themselves to become whole. And that was Jackson's journey. I can absolutely resonate with that for sure. So the lengths we go to become fulfilled and feel whole can be absolutely extreme. This chapter two that gives a sense of the hunger and what Jackson was prepared to go through for peace. And he talks about a number of things, obviously, in Jackson's 30s and the challenges. So there may appear that there was challenges in his teenage years, but that was enhanced in his 30s. And in his 30s, and the book goes into more detail, he went through the greatest challenges that, or one of the greatest challenges of his life, which changed everything. I feel if you're open to possibilities and look and seek, you can turn your life around. But I feel if you don't heed the signs, then when you try and turn it around, it's like you reach shallow sort of waters. So turning around, you're going to scrape the bottom and you're going to do some damage. And hopefully it's not too bad in a sense. So I love analogies. So if you can heed the signs earlier, then you can definitely make some course changes or corrections to bring about a deeper sense of fulfillment, a sense of depth within. And I feel this is the journey of life. This is what everything we're about and the book's about. And we support that journey. Not to say that anyone must travel the same waters or as you, myself, or Jackson, or anyone. It's going out to those uncharted waters within yourself to find something amazing. And I truly believe that within the depths of everyone's heart and those waters that people are afraid to travel to because of what if I can't make it or what if something happens. Within those waters, there's something beautiful for everyone. And the deeper depths of your soul that you discover, the happier and more fulfilled you will become. I absolutely believe that 100%. And I feel that the only thing I'd say that and the reason Jackson went through so much in such an intense time was that he put a timeline. Like he went to India and discovered things, ceremonies, put a lot of effort into prayers, show me the truth. And this is put a lot of effort into discovering truth within. And when you want it now, the sooner you want it, the rougher the waters, because that gets you there quicker. If you make it, a great saint in India said, be careful of the timeline. So any timeline you offer or you put out there, like if you want the world to cleanse overnight, the only way it would do this is by catastrophes, earthquakes, the whole lot. If it's going to cleanse overnight, then hardly anyone would make it. So the longer the timeline, the more gradual the change can be, and vice versa. So just be aware that if you put it out there, if you want change, you want it straight away. Be careful what you ask for. You may just get it. So, and that's actually in the book, the back of the book, isn't it? Be careful what you ask for.
Yes.
There you go. Right. What a great piece of writing that is. So, I think that's an overview of the second chapter. It's a pretty intense little short overview. But when we think we are suffering alone, then we fear change and we don't know where to turn. But I really feel that to know that so many are suffering and that you are not alone, then potentially even knowing that possibility, and it's more than a possibility, but I'm just saying, putting it out there, that knowing that or getting a sense of that shares the burden and you feel like more people can understand you on some level and you can become more understanding of others, knowing that as you are suffering and possibly reacting to situations and at times you may feel out of control, that would also explain other people's reactions to you or around you or to others that you can see. So understanding will go a long way to, instead of laying blame, get a sense of understanding on a deeper level. And instead of judging another, you can potentially nurture or support on some level, or at least understand or get a sense that if one is angry and suffering, then they are not coping very well. And if someone's reactive and constantly reacting, it's a sure sign they're not coping. And it doesn't mean that we'll let them get away with things, or we should let them get away with things. It doesn't mean they get a free pass with everything that's going on or in a relationship. It doesn't mean that at all. Depending on if they're not willing to cope or learn to cope, if they keep blaming another or blaming you, then you must revalue the relationship, whatever connection is, however that relationship is for you. But if one constantly blames and isn't prepared to work through anything, and that's over a period of time, you will quite easily see there's a pattern, a consistency. It will become obvious. And if they're not prepared to break that pattern, you must consider what's in it for you. And is it destructive? Can things change? Can you change around these circumstances? When you're suffering constantly, you must, in the moments where you can, evaluate the situation and make changes. And I've said this in a number of talks, but if you're suffering, it can be hard because every time you suffer and you fall into potential depression, and I know this from personal experience, you feel like it's been there forever and you feel like it will never leave. It's like you feel like it's, oh, that's right, I've been depressed, I've been carrying it around with me all the time. And then in that space you think, well, this is never going to leave. It just feels like it's going to be around for months. And sometimes it may be. I'm not saying it is. So I feel it's important, I've told others this based on my experience. Write down all the things that you feel down about, no matter if it's proportionate to your situation or not, you express how you feel. And when you're not depressed and when you're happy during the days, write down that you're happy. And if you go in cycles and you feel good, you feel like you feel to feel high, to feel really low and vice versa. Write down how you're feeling, and especially on the high days. I felt great today. I had this experience. I was happy about this. Or I was laughing at this, or I found this funny or this amusing. I was motivated here. I did something great, or, you know, I felt really good. I managed to do this or do that. And I feel a lot of people only pay attention when they're suffering. And I feel if you fall into that negativity, that dark space within, it's very important to write down and keep a daily journal, diary, where you write down how you're feeling every day, and maybe in the morning, how you feel in the evening, and take particular notice to when you're feeling pretty good or you're feeling better. And then when you fall back into that dark place, and it will swing back and forth as you take on the spiritual journey or whatever your journey is, the journey within, whether you class it spiritual or religious or whatever that is, doesn't matter to you. Take note, go back over the journal when you fall into a potential depressive state. And you go, actually, yeah, the mind is telling me in this space that I carry this depression around all the time, and I pretty much feel as the dominating factor at all times. If you read back over the journal where you've written down, on this day I felt pretty good, on that day I felt good, this day I was excited about this day I was excited about that, and you go, hang on a minute. So you can start seeing through your mind. You know, well, you can think, well, the mind's telling me something that's absolutely not true. It's lying to me. And it's amazing. You might think, why is the mind lying? Well, it's a habit that you've formed for yourself. And without awareness, you start lying to yourself and justifying and lying your thoughts, your existence, your suffering. And I'm not a supporter of that whatsoever. Why would you harbor and justify any suffering at all? You know, so it's like that analogy, people, you know, when someone throws mud at you, people tend to rub it all over themselves. Well, that's something that I use. Maybe other people say that, but yeah, I'm not saying I'm the original person that said that, but I've been saying that for a long time, that yeah, people throw mud and they just rub all over themselves, and they think they are the mud, they become the mud, where the mud's external. It's like you rub the suffering all over yourself and you immerse yourself in it. It's like you're drawn to, and I remember doing that myself, but as you become aware, you don't rub it on you, you don't necessarily take it to be yours. You think, okay, they threw something at me, why did they throw it? And it's like it might have stung you, but you don't rub it on yourself, you let it fall away. Yeah, I feel that differentiating and writing down the joyous moments and the happy days and will give you a sense of decoding the pattern, the negative pattern and cycles that you will tell yourself in those dark times, which enhances the darkness. If you believe in that moment that that depression was been carrying around the whole time, and that you're pretty much always feeling that way when you're not, then that locks you in that space. So we must earn our freedom and awareness, and there's small things we can do using our awareness, and that will help us break through this debilitating, or this potentially debilitating cycle. So pretty heavy chapter two. But the chapter doesn't go into, paraphrasing, I'm talking about what Jackson went through, because it doesn't really smack you in the face about this stuff personally for you or for the reader. It talks about Jackson's journey. So this probably goes in a bit harder, a bit deeper, and smacks you in the face a bit more than what
the book does.
Than what the book does. So I'm just saying this is what it's sort of pointing to. So the book is a way of reflecting within self, even subtly, by following Jackson's journey. So it sounds intense, and it is to some degree, but I'm intensifying it far more by saying this is what it's about, this is what it's reflecting in. So that's pretty much it on chapter two, I feel. It does talk about, as I said, Jackson's journey from a childhood up to in his 30s and when he went through greater suffering. It gives an overview across the board with not too much detail, but gives a sense of the ups and downs and the internal challenges within his thoughts. Anything to add? That's pretty much it.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty good.
Not sure. Okay, yep. Cool. So if there's any questions on that, I think it's self-explanatory, but any comments, please feel free, and stay tuned for chapter three. So we'll chat soon. Thanks, guys. Bye for now.